I'm Abigail Galvan. Welcome to EWTN Pro-Life Weekly.
Are we only pro-birth or are we pro-life? And if we say no to kids with disabilities, then how do we fall into that?
Care and support for some of our most vulnerable persons with disabilities.
I believe inclusive Catholic education is the long-term ticket to inclusion of people with disabilities in their parishes.
This special episode explores the work being done by the church to provide for the needs of this underserved community.
Pastorally, I would always tell people, whether I was a pastor or a bishop, I said, now, if you meet somebody with a disability, get ready because you're going to learn a lot.
And what is still required to create a more inclusive environment.
This community being included and feeling at home in the parish is essential for the vitality of the church.
Making parishes everyone's home, the focus of this year's National Catholic Conference on Disability, put on by the National Catholic Partnership on Disability. Hundreds from the special needs community gathered in Salt Lake City, Utah, to share resources and fellowship. The National Catholic Partnership on Disability, or NCPD, is just one of the many resources we'll be spotlighting during our special coverage of how the church and faith communities are meeting the needs of persons with disabilities across the United States. Nearly 45 million people live with a disability in the U.S., which is more than 13% of the population. That's according to the latest estimated data from the U.S. Census Bureau in 2023. Looking more closely at the numbers, some 21 million men and 23 million women in the U.S. have a disability. More than 3.5 million of those with disabilities are between the ages of 0 and 17. Another 22 million are between the ages of 18 and 64, and more than 10 million are over the age of 75. The Catholic Church strives to promote the dignity of all human life. That, of course, includes those with disabilities. As new challenges arise, the Church is discovering ways to raise awareness and encourage full participation of those with disabilities in our Catholic faith. Reporter Julia Convery has more.
Persons with disabilities are not only recipients of catechesis, they are its agents.
There are saints who struggled with sin, addiction, or church heresy. But what about saints who struggled with mental health, disabilities, or special needs? St. Dimphna, St. Margaret of Castello, and St. Francis de Sales are just a few patrons of a growing movement in the Catholic Church. Inclusion and greater awareness for the disabled and special needs community.
When we believe in our children with disabilities, it gives them the confidence to believe in themselves.
The percentage of Catholics with disabilities is hard to measure, but a recent study conducted by the Center for Applied Research in the Apostolate found that 79% of pastors are aware of parishioners with sensory disabilities in their parishes, and perhaps many more who do not show up in statistics. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops first recognized the need for inclusion in 1978 with a pastoral statement on persons with disabilities, writing, "The Church must continue to expand its healing ministry to these persons, helping them when necessary, working with them, and raising its voice with them, with all members of society who are their advocates." The USCCB approved a new drafting of the document in 2023, with updated guidance on the roles of those with special needs within the church.
We absolutely spend a lot of time training trainers at diocesan and parish levels, as well as creating resources that help support them to serve the families and the persons in front of them at the local churches.
Charlene Catra is the director of the National Catholic Partnership on Disability, a nonprofit that was founded by the USCCB in 1982. The NCPD is just one of the many growing resources available to parishes, schools, and families to support disabled persons. Organizations like the FIRE Foundation or the Catholic Coalition for Special Education are dedicated to disability inclusion in the classroom, providing aid to teachers and students.
I also believe that Catholic schools are uniquely qualified to include students with disabilities precisely because they are Catholic, precisely because we believe we are one body in Christ, and that body is only complete when all its members are included.
Other programs focus on the needs of parents. Accepting the Gift supports parents of special needs children.
I had a lot of people then reaching out to me because I was like the only Catholic special needs parent that they knew about, which I thought was sad. I was like, how do you not know anybody else? But they weren't finding anybody in their parishes.
With religious curricula and support groups, parents can find the help they need where community might be lacking. As for the pew, parents may find Mass and the sacraments inaccessible to their special needs children if their parish doesn't have the resources available.
This is, I think, a really good opportunity to look at priestly formation programs to say, okay, how can we do this? In addition, after priestly formation programs, what do we do to support priests that are already in the field?
With disability inclusion work happening at all levels of the church, a culture of life is instilled in all, especially the most vulnerable.
I think that if we reject that kind of utilitarian education, we communicate to the culture that human dignity comes from being instead of doing, and then we restore to the culture that the true identity of the human person is formed best through our own church's heritage of education.
Julia Convery, EWTN Pro-Life Weekly.
I had the chance to speak with Mark Bradford, Fellow for Persons with Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities at the Word on Fire Institute. He stopped by our Washington, D.C. studio to talk about his broad experience advocating for those with disabilities in the Catholic Church, inspired by raising his own son with Down syndrome. Mark, thank you so much for being here with us today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks so much for the invitation.
All right, you're an advocate for those with disabilities in the Catholic Church. Tell us, what is the state of disability inclusion in the church today?
You know, it's really hard to generalize. There are some places that are doing exceptionally good work. Right across the river in the Diocese of Arlington, Porto Charities is there working within the diocese to provide better opportunities and inclusive education in the Catholic schools, employment and advocacy for people with disabilities in the church. Other places, there are points of light where great things are happening. But again, it's a large country. We have some 190 some or 200 dioceses and archdioceses across the country. Some have capacity and resources and some don't. So it's just a matter of trying to expand those resources across the country and get more dioceses, Catholic school systems, big into inclusion in Catholic schools, get more Catholic schools on board with inclusion and just improve the situation overall.
Great. And what would you say are the biggest challenges facing the special needs community in the church?
Well, it's a place of welcome, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I often say that over the last 2,000 years, we haven't done a very good job of doing what Jesus asked mm-hmm. us to do and caring for people who are vulnerable, people who have various kinds of differences. For some reason, we don't prioritize those needs, although it was something that clearly Jesus prioritized in his ministry, right? Mm-hmm. But we're always putting our emphasis in other places. And oftentimes, people who are living with intellectual or developmental or physical disabilities, mental health issues, don't receive the priority that I think Jesus asked us to give to them.
Yes.
In his words of instruction to us. And that in many places, we might have the capacity to do, mm-hmm. but just are not doing, for whatever reason that might be. The reasons you often hear in inclusive education, I know in Catholic mm-hmm. schools, the reasons are, well, we don't have the funding, the finances, we can't do it. We can't hire the personnel that we need. Or we can't provide the professional development that we need in our schools to include people with disabilities in our parish schools. In 1978, the bishops wrote their first pastoral statement on persons with disabilities in the church. And in that, they listed education as a priority. Mm. That was 1978. We have an updated document coming out possibly in November this year. We'll see what that says in terms of inclusive education, but we still haven't really managed to find a place of welcome in the church. There are even some places where sacramental access is a bit of a challenge. So I think it's just a matter of understanding. You know, we need to have a greater understanding of what our capacity is, I think reorient the priorities possibly mm-hmm. so that we really bring people with disabilities to be fully included and welcomed in the church where they really feel that they belong.
Mark, you have a new book coming out in September called Indispensable, A Catholic Guide to Welcoming Persons with Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities. Can you tell us about this book?
Yeah, it's a book that I edited for Word on Fire. It will be released September 22nd. It's in our warehouse now. But what it's intended to be is a pastoral resource. So when I conceived of this idea, I think there's so many questions that people have in parishes, and they don't really know how to get started if they're interested in welcoming people with disabilities into the parishes. So I engaged 10 different authors to write in various areas of their expertise. So beautiful introduction to the theology of disability written by Dr. Miguel Romero, who's a theologian that's at St. Louis University. Charlene Catra, who is the executive director of the National Catholic Partnership on Disability, has written a chapter on the church's documentation with regard to disability. We have a chapter on inclusive education written by Dr. Mike Boyle, who's at St. Louis University, a chapter on relationships and sexuality, which no one is addressing in the midst of complete and total confusion in the secular world, as we know. Written by Mary O'Callaghan from Notre Dame. So what we're hoping it will be is a resource that parishes will be able to use to really understand what they need to do to better welcome people and to counsel families. There's a chapter written by Tracy Windsor and Bridget Mora. Tracy was one of the co-founders of Be Not Afraid. So they've written a chapter on counseling families after a prenatal diagnosis. So what it is it's pretty much a comprehensive introduction to the needs of people with disabilities in the church.
Which sounds like it's very needed, and hopefully it'll come out in time, as you mentioned, before this USCCB ruling comes out. Out of curiosity, what do you hope to see in that statement from the USCCB?
You know, the 1978 document was really pretty good. And a lot of it, as I alluded to in the area of Catholic education, really hasn't been accomplished yet. So I think what it should be is really kind of an updating of language, certainly, an updating of the situation in the church. You know, we have so many threats to persons with disabilities now prenatally and even after birth in the world that have been brought upon us by advancements in genetic technologies, et cetera. So I think ideally what it will do is just update that 1978 statement. You know, there's so much in the area of disability that is really at the heart of Catholic social teaching. And our concept of the, you know, the dignity of the human person, certainly, but even more so integral development, integral human development of persons with disabilities. We tend to underplay the capacity. So I'm hoping that it brings those elements to the fore, you know, brings to the fore the challenge of prenatal diagnosis. Now we have the challenges at the end of life with euthanasia, which we have physician-assisted suicide in the U.S. We're not like Canada. We're not like the Netherlands, but we don't know what's around the bend. So I think it needs to raise awareness of those issues. And I think I believe inclusive Catholic education is the long-term ticket to inclusion of people with disabilities in their parishes, because if kids grow up together, the mystery around disability vanishes into friendship. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
You mentioned Catholic social teaching. Pope Leo XIV has spoken a lot on this, and he said little about the protection of life. What do you wish to hear him say or speak to more?
Well, you know, Pope Francis spoke beautifully. He's infinitely quotable. Well, maybe not infinitely, but he's very quotable in the area of disability. He has this beautiful phrase that I use often. He's called disability is a magisterium of fragility, which I think is just so poetic and so evocative of what we can learn from people with disabilities. So I think that, you know, I think bringing Catholic social teaching, especially the dignity of the human person, the principle of solidarity, the principle of subsidiarity. Let people with disabilities and parishes do what they can. Let's help them discover their gifts. Let's not try to manage everything around them, but bring them into the conversation. Allow them to contribute where they can. So I think all these areas of these principles of Catholic social teaching really apply just really at the kernel, at the heart of what the need for the advancement of the needs for people with disabilities in our parishes and under church.
Yeah, that's very beautifully said, Mark. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Pleasure. Thank you.
I spoke with EWTN's Father Robert Spitzer about his experience living with a disability. In his early 30s, he was diagnosed with a rare eye disease called retinitis pigmentosa and ended up losing his sight. Father Spitzer told me his disability has actually become a blessing in disguise.
It's the blessing of gratitude, the blessing of humility, the blessing of new opportunities you would have never considered had you not had this disability. Opportunities which could lead you to serve others much better and serve others you know, in ways you've never dreamt of before when you had all of your wits and talents about you.
The big picture, Father Spitzer says his blindness is helping him and others get into the kingdom of heaven. The Jubilee of Peoples with Disabilities was held in April. It was a beautiful recognition by the church that all of God's children are precious. The two-day event drew thousands of participants to Rome. Those attending passed through the Holy Door, took part in Mass and Adoration, and had their confessions heard by priests who were especially trained to work with those with disabilities. From the needs of the Universal Church to the needs of local parish communities, two bishops, Bishop James Wall of the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico, and Archbishop Emeritus Joseph Kurtz of the Archdiocese of Louisville, Kentucky, have close ties to the special needs community. They were kind enough to chat with me recently about their experiences shepherding this flock. Thank you both for joining us today. You have both played a significant role in advocating for persons with disabilities, whether within your own families or within your pastoral role as bishops. Bishop Wall, we'll start with you. You play a large role in guiding families with children with special needs through the sacraments. How do you navigate being a shepherd to this unique community?
I think the best way I've navigated it is by trying to be open to people and hear their story and then trying to meet them as best as possible. And I think that's the way our Lord did, or people were sick and had disabilities and all sorts of different things. And he just didn't walk away from them, but he met them where they were and he gave them precisely what it was that they needed. So they didn't feel as if they were, you know, cast out or lesser than, which obviously is not the case. With my own case, I have a sister, a nephew, and a niece who are hard of hearing. So this is something I've grown up with my whole life. And sometimes some people, if they're hearing impaired, it might not be obvious to you. And so to be sensitive to that, somebody might have a disability and it's not really obvious to you as a pastor. And you want to be sensitive to that and be open to people and allow them to approach you as well as approaching them to be able to meet that as best as possible.
And Archbishop Kurtz, you also have a personal story and connection to the issue. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, Abigail. My brother Georgie was 5 years older than I, and we grew up together and very, very close. He had a great influence on my life. Georgie had Down syndrome, and when our mother died in 1989, I became legal guardian for Georgie, and he and I shared two different rectories because I was a pastor in two different places. And then when I became the bishop in Knoxville, Tennessee, he came and was there for really 2 years before he died, about 23 years ago. So very, very close. I like to tell the story that when he came to the rectory, he transformed the rectory into a home. I would come from Catholic, I was director of Catholic Charities at the time too. So I'd come home from Catholic Charities in the morning and coming close to the rectory, I heard laughter. Now you don't always hear laughter in because things can be tense in a rectory, you know, a lot of busy things to do. But there was something very beautiful about that. And he very quickly gave everybody there a nickname and treated them very personable. And I guess the most obvious thing to me was not so much how people helped him, although they did mightily, but rather the effect that he had in their lives when they allowed him to enter their life. There's something very unique about the gift that everyone has, but for some reason, I think it's especially obvious when somebody has a disability, because it's somewhat disarming. Somebody doesn't expect to receive a gift when they meet a person with a disability. So Georgie was quite a character. When we would go on vacation, they would say to me at that time, Monsignor, we're gonna miss you, but we're really gonna miss Georgie. So that gives you just a feel for what it was like.
Yeah. Now, for both of you, in what ways can a Catholic Church better respond to the needs of the special needs community? And for us as parishioners, what are our responsibilities as Catholics? Bishop Wall, we'll start with you.
I think, sure. I think one of the best things to look at it is not kind of we and them, as a more of an us approach. how we're, these are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all creating the image and likeness of God. And I think that that's a, just a great starting point for that. Mm-hmm. And I think to be able to make, you know, especially in access to the sacraments as accessible as possible. I always think about the sister, the story of my sister in the early 70s when she went on her to do her first confession. She's very, very good at reading lips, but she can't see you talking. It's very difficult for her to hear. So she went to do her first confession. You can imagine how scary that is. We all know what that's like. And but this was when we were not doing face-to-face. And a wonderful old priest from Ireland, he understood she was having problems with this, and he invited her just to come around and go face-to-face before we were doing face-to-face. And it was a positive experience for her, a really positive experience. So to make people feel included, make sure the sacraments are accessible, I think we just kind of go that extra mile to help them as best as possible.
And Archbishop Kurtz?
Sure. Bishop Wall said it beautifully. I would probably add that there's a need for each of us to listen in general to people, because we come sometimes with preconceived ideas about what someone's like or what they may need. But it's so important to listen, because every person with a disability is unique, and God gives different gifts and unique gifts to people. So in order to uncover those gifts, that's very important. For a number of years, I was the Episcopal moderator for the National Catholic Partnership with Disabilities, and they had a beautiful setting, and I'll use the word that Bishop Wall used, about being belonging. Mm. Sometimes when we use the word include, we presume that there's a group that's excluded, whereas when we use the word belong, every blessed one of us has a desire and a need to belong. And so it puts us in some ways on equal footing. Mm. And I think that's so very important. And I think pastorally, I would always tell people, whether I was a pastor or a bishop, I said, now, if you meet somebody with a disability, get ready, because you're going to learn a lot. Mm. You're going to actually be changed because of the contact with that person. I don't know if it's the childlike nature of someone. That was certainly the case with Georgie. But I think that blessing of being able to not just help someone, but get ready to learn from somebody as you enter into an encounter or relationship with them.
I think that was beautifully said from both of you. And you're even helping me rethink some of the ways in which I approach the issue and think about it. For both of you, what would you like to see from Pope Leo?
Oh, gosh. Bishop Wall, do you want to go first or should I?
I love what he's doing. I just absolutely love what he's doing. Any sort of gesture, to people with disabilities is always a positive, and I think that's what he's doing. Yeah, so it's exciting.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I had the privilege in 2012 to be a synodal member at the Synod on New Evangelization, and at that time Pope Leo was Father Bob, and he was actually the prior general, I guess you'd say, for the Augustinians. So we were in the same small group, and I was the relator or the secretary, and I said to him at that time, Bob, do you want to help me out with this? Because we have to do summaries. And so we worked together. He's intelligent, calm. He made me calm. Mm-hmm. And so I think we could probably look forward to seeing him model, certainly teach, he'll teach well, but he'll model the way in which I think we ought to treat each other as unique and as special. So I'm equally excited about his leadership and his presence within the church.
Amen. And we have about 1 minute left. Are there any closing thoughts you'd like to leave us with?
You know, I just one little thing. I know Archbishop Kurtz and I both read this book. I read a wonderful book called Until Lily about a girl with Down syndrome, and it's written by a Catholic, and it's just a beautiful story And it helps you to maybe understand somebody with disability a little more. But it has a beautiful little story.
I would also add something, and that is, let's remember how much the church already is doing. It's amazing to me. I think of my brother Georgie, and he was always treated with respect, but he didn't receive confirmation until he, well into the 70s, and he was born in 41. So I think we need to be grateful for all that the church is doing and all the people who have gone before us to create that wonderful atmosphere of belonging and of seeing ourselves as a community in Christ. And I'll finally say this, the families of people who have a disability often have burdens. They won't say it, they'll say that they're gifts, but they also sometimes need help. So whenever I talk about somebody who had a disability, I always say, well, let's look also to their family and how we can walk together with them. And sometimes it might just be a simple thing of visiting, but always calling ahead of time. Or it might be substituting, just saying, do you need to go out shopping if somebody has a disability that is severe and maybe cannot live on their own?
Oh, I think that's beautifully said. Thank you both so much just this reminder that things are burdens and gifts and that we're all in this together and we're all seeking the same things. So thank you both just for being here with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Abigail.
To learn more about the resources available to the special needs community across the nation, visit ncpd.org. That does it for this edition of EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. Sign up for our newsletter, The Pro-Life Pulse, ewtn.com/pro-life. Remember, life is a gift. Your life is a gift. God bless.